We are paying tribute this morning to one of the original immortals, Bob Fulton, who sadly passed away yesterday, aged 74. And joining us now, former Manly player, official, contributor, of course, to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend and one of Bob Fulton's great mates, Peter Peters. Good morning to you.
Hey, Jared. How are you, mate?
Not too bad, thanks, Zorba. And condolences to you, mate. And, you know, with Bozo yesterday, I mean, just how proud were you then watching that Manly performance?
Yeah, absolutely. The boys dug deep yesterday for Bob. Many of them knew him personally. I think the bit that got me, just when they're in the huddle before kickoff, and they panned in closely on the face of young Josh Schuster, just 20 years of age, who at 14 years of age, Bob's son, Scott, who was the talent scout and person in charge of junior pathways in terms of talent at Manly, said to Bose, come out and look at this kid play. He's a little bit on the fat side, he's got great ability. And Bob went with him, watched a half of football and said, I've seen enough. Get him into the system and get him in quick. At 10 past two yesterday, just short of 2 hours before kickoff, young Josh sent a text to Scott Fulton and said that he was very conscious of what today was all about and that he promised he'd have a good game to salute Bob, who'd done so much for him. Well, we saw him involved in the first four of Manly's five tries, and the kid's going to be a star. Yeah. And it was almost like the stars aligned yesterday for the departing great that, you know, had so much to do with that kid's arrival at Manly when he was 14. He's now 20.
Zorba, you're a great mate of Bozo's, and it's been less than 24 hours now since his passing. Over the last, you know, 24 hours, how have you reflected back on your friendship with Bozo, the life of Bozo, and how much is he going to be missed?
Oh, Laurie, if we didn't talk three times a day, we're having a blue. You know, that's, he's been a brother for 65 years for me. We met as kids in Wollongong when I was 8 years of age at Fig Tree Oval, just down the road from my house and a couple of kilometres away from the Housing Commission home that he lived in nearby at Unanderra. And I don't know, we just clicked. It was a time when sport was an avenue for migrant kids to, you know, to show that they were on equal footing. And Bose, well, I wouldn't say took me under his arm, under his wing. I think we just fell into this great friendship that endured right up until his passing. And we've had so many great times together that I'm going to concentrate on those fabulous memories. And, you know, they go all over the world. They go all over Australia. They go to holidays. They go to rugby league games, they go to, you know, family holidays together. It just embraces everything, and I'm so lucky to have had him in my life for so long, and yet it all seems so brief now. But, you know, he was just a character. You know, Laurie, you toured with him in 1990, and I think that was one of his great abilities, to bring players together from all clubs and both states that play the game, and yet they became one under Bozo. He treated you all like you were part of his family. I remember in 1990, which was one of the greatest series that I've ever had the privilege of calling, and you'll recall that first test match, Great Britain beat us at Wembley. Second test match was at Old Trafford, and it was 10-all, and Ricky Stewart, great mates with Bob. Made a break, Mel Meninga scored, and we went to the third decider at Elland Road in Leeds. Australia won 14-0, but in the lead-up to that third test. It's 1-1. Imagine this today happening. Malcolm Brearley's coaching Great Britain, and his great mate Bob Fulton's coaching Australia. Bob phoned me, Lewis, in Manchester, as you know, and said, "Come on, we're going for a day out, but you're going to have to get on the drink today, even though you haven't had a drink for 4 years, or else you can't come." And I said, "Where are we going?" He said, "Don't worry about it, just come." So my godson, Scott Fulton, Bob's son, was our driver for the day, and off we went to a little town called Letcham outside of Castleford, and a tiny hotel. We walked in, and Malcolm Reilly's there with Phil Lowe, who's the team manager for Great Britain, and we talk and drink and eat and drink and eat. And I remember going back to Manchester, and the radio was on, and we were talking, and I didn't remember much about the day. Then we went to the third test and won 14-0. But imagine today, the two rival coaches on the grog for probably 10 to 12 hours in the lead up to a test match. But we didn't talk about football all day. It was just about the good times we'd had and old days, together at Manly on the beaches. So it was Boz. You were a mate of Boz's or you were an enemy, and we didn't draw the line. You know, it was you're either on board or not on board.
It was a special tour, that one, Bozo and Zorba, and Bozo was in charge. But I've got to say, representative coaching is different to coaching clubland, and he had success at both. And it was an enjoyable tour, and I think Brandy summed it up best yesterday on Fox when he said he just understood it. He just understood it better than most. And, you know, he knew that he had to be hard. You trained hard, but you'd also enjoy yourself. And away from football, he'd let you go. But then when you got back onto the football field, he was as competitive as anyone as I've ever met.
Oh, no doubt about it. His wife Anne's the same way. Not a perfect match. And you'll remember her on that tour. And Anne calls a spade a spade. She's Bob's greatest supporter. My wife and I had a tennis court in our home at Bayview, and we'd pay a fair bit together. And Bob's wife Anne and my wife Cassie were always great partners in a B-grade competition or something. They were probably much better than Boz and I in terms of ability to play. But competitiveness is something that they both always had. I'll never forget, we were on holidays in Maui. It was stinking hot. You could feel the heat coming through your sand shoes. We were at Kaanapali Resort, and it was 6-6 in our game. And I said, "Well, let's go and have a pina colada or something." And Bo said, "No, we haven't finished." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "A 6-6, that'll do us." No, we have to have a decision. And Anne's saying the same thing. And I said, "Okay." I said, "Just double thoughts, sweetheart." So, and then Bob was happy to go and sit around the pool and have a drink, but not before we ended that set. But that was typical of him. I mean, it was almost like my yuca partner. We started at an early age, and my old man ran an illegal gambling club in Wollongong, and we spent a fair bit of time there growing up, let me tell you. And Bob and I knew what we were doing when we played yuca, but it ended up, you know, none of the other boys in the team were players. They reckon that we had too many signals.
Pete, when someone passes a legend of your sport, you always remember how great they were as a player. But, you know, even listening to Loz this morning and our text messages in, surely there hasn't been a rugby league player that has had anywhere near as much impact as Bob Fulton, not just on the field, but look, post his playing career and what he's done off the field, coaching, his success and just his involvement, selector in rugby league. It is phenomenal what he has achieved and what he has given rugby league as a sport.
Oh, absolutely, Michael. Yep. I mean, playing with him and growing up with him, you know, in under eights and through to probably 14s, he wasn't the greatest player. But he was a fabulous trainer, and he brought professionalism into rugby league training. We'd have a we'd have a game of touch before training, and Rex Mossop, the great broadcaster of Channel 7, the next Manly player, and he would bring down his football, and we'd have a game of touch before training as a sort of a warm-up, and as soon as the decision went against Rex's side, he'd get the ball and go home, sulking. And that's the way we were, but not Bozo. Bozo, he played touch with us only because of the team part of it, but he was about doing so many sprints and burpees and everything else that he did that we didn't do. And that's why he was the first really professional player in the game. Everything he did was about preparation, but fiercely loyal person. I remember I played most of the season because Alan Thompson, one of the players that was brought to the club the same year I was an international player from Lakes United in Newcastle. He'd been out injured a fair bit of the season, and I took his spot. And then the coach called us in. He was coming back, Alan Thompson, and said, "Oh, well, look, whatever happens next week, he said, Alan Thompson will come in the side and absorb you. You've done a good job, but you'll go back to Reggie." And I said, "Oh, well, I'm wasting my time training." So I stormed off in a great huff. I went to the dressing room, and Arco came in, Ken Arthurs, and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, the coach has told me I can't be in first grade next week, so what's the use of me training? He said, "Get your gear back on, get back out there." So Ken called the side together and said, "Listen, there's a selection panel which I'm on." He said, "You're all on notice next week. The only person certain of his place the week after is Zorba. Now get on with training. You're the coach who on coach. You are not sole selector." So Arco told Ron Willie in no uncertain terms that he wasn't the boss. Well, we played, I think it was Western Suburbs, and Bozo waited for me on the try line twice and said, "Hurry up, Batso." And he gave me the ball and I scored two tries. That's how good he was.
Well, Zorba, keep telling the stories, mate, because the history of rugby league is so important. Part of the fabric of this country, no doubt about that. And once again, sympathies, condolences to you for you losing your great mate. We really appreciate you taking some time to talk to us and our listeners this morning.
Thanks, guys. And you know, Anne and the family, you know, they're very tight. And we'll all get through it together. But wonderful words said yesterday. And the people at phone, John Quayle, you know, the former boss of the league, called, and he was great mates with Boz. Everybody that knew him loved him, and there's a perception that by some people that he was a hard man. Yes, he was a hard man, but underneath it all, there was a different man, and if you knew that man, then you knew a real man. Thanks, guys.